Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to meet with you wherever you are around the world. And I was thinking, during the week we pray about this program, and I was thinking there's many of you that are listening, and since God has seen fit to send this program to many of the larger countries and even smaller countries all around the world, we need to pray that God will speak through His words to people's hearts. The Holy Spirit will move. And I very strongly and from experience have seen where, as Christians prayed about things, that God intervened and answered, and He used the preaching of His word very powerfully and mightily. And so there's probably many thousands of Christians that are living in the great countries of the world that are listening to this program. We know that that's true from experience. And so I would ask you all that you would be praying for it all week long, and that God's Spirit would speak to people as we speak and help. As Paul said, he said, give us utterance and give us the ability to say the words that God would want us to say. But our program here is about the fact that we have the Word of God, and it's been translated in different languages. In the English, we believe that the King James Bible is the pure Word of God. In Psalms 119, it talks about God's Word, and it says God's Word is pure. And there's people today that, oh, they talk about the verbally inspired originals, but that's the end. But God said that the Scripture is inspired, and so after the original autographs were copied by the apostles, people started to copy these. And God said that He would preserve His words pure, and that they would be pure and down through the ages. And so we have the history of where the true Word of God is, and so we try to talk about that today. And we have many preachers today that actually, I have to be blunt about it, and I don't like to insult people, but we have to be blunt about it. But we hear on radio and television preachers that say this is an unfortunate translation referring to the King James, even preachers that use it. And they say a better reading is, and it should be like so-and-so. And yet, when I see them, I look at them, and I don't believe that most of them even know what they're talking about when they say that. And so I want to give today some history of the corruption of the Word of God. Now, the true Word of God will continue on always because the Bible says that the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And the true Word of God is like a river running down a mountain stream and turning into a mountain stream. As it goes over the rocks, the water is purified. On the other hand, and it ends up in the true Word of God in the Authorized King James Bible. On the other side, they believe that the Word of God is like a muddy river that is picking up silt and so on, and you have to go to your particular guru or preacher where he gets a strainer, strains out the mud, and then tells you what it really says, what it really should be. And we reject that point of view. Now, Jesus used copies of copies. So did the apostles. And all of them would say, it is written. None of them said it shouldn't have been translated like this, and none of them said it's an unfortunate translation or a better reading is. And today, these people have turned us into a situation where every word of the Bible is under question, and ministers are being taught this in the schools. And so in this program, we're saying that God has preserved His word through history, and we find it in the perfect Word of God, in the Authorized King James Bible. And we have many outstanding books that we have been advertising here on the program, on our radio program, so that you could have an opportunity to pick these up and read it. And the Scripture itself the Bible itself tells us where the true words of God are, and we talk about that. The Bible says the word of God liveth and abideth forever. So the text that has come down to us is the basis of the King James. The modern ones are based on what is called the eclectic text, and that's less than 1% of the evidence. And eclectic means mixed, because even the manuscripts, for instance, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, corrupt Bibles that they use for the modern versions, they disagree with each other in 3,000 places. And yet, that's just in the Gospels alone. But the true Word of God is called the received text, the Textus Receptus. And that's over 99% of the evidence. And in Europe today, they have hundreds of ancient Bibles in different translations. But these Bibles line up with the authorized King James Bible. We can trace it back to the time of the apostles. And our program is upholding the King James. We say that when you are reading the authorized King James Bible, you are reading what God said. And we say that people that are correcting it, they don't know what they're talking about. And they're going to answer to God for what they're doing. The Bible that says the true word of God liveth and abideth forever. It's a living book. It can reproduce itself. And it abides forever. It continues on forever. And so generation after generation, God's people go back to the authorized King James Bible. And that was the one that was based on the ancient Bibles they had on their desk that go back to the apostles. And it's based on over 99% of the evidence. And that's why we have this program. That's what it's all about. And so we hope that God will bless you. Now, it says here in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." So even in Paul's day, there was many that corrupted the word of God. They had a scripture verse and they copied it and then they changed it. And today I want to go into some of the history of the corruption of the true word of God. And I hope that will be a blessing and help to you. I also want to thank Marvin for being here with us today, and he's a blessing. And he picks me up every week, and we fellowship, and he brings me here to the studio. So once again, let me say this as before we go on. I'm going to ask you to be praying for the program, that God will speak to people's hearts in this program, and that their faith in God's word will be confirmed and be strengthened by what they hear. Now, let's go into the history of the corruption. So we're going to talk about history today. And history can be a very exciting and interesting thing because it deals with the lives of people. But the apostles write the New Testament, and immediately the New Testament is copied from most of the New Testament being written in Greek, although we're not sure. Some of it might have been written some other languages, but right after it was completed, and most of it probably was written, and first of all, it was written in what is called the Koine Greek, and that is the common Greek of the day. The corrupt Bibles that are being used for the modern versions are based on classical Greek and not the common Greek or the Koine Greek. In Greek class, the first thing they tell you is that they say that the New Testament is written in Koine Greek. And then immediately in the earliest centuries, it was translated, and one of the places it was translated by Euphilus, and as early as about 335. And it could have possibly been even translated before him, but we know that he used this translation in 335. He was called the Little Wolf, and he was spoke Gothic. Now, Gothic was the beginning of the English language. And we have manuscripts of the Gothic Bible, copies of that, going back way back to the 3rd and 4th century. And many of the words in the Gothic Bible are still found in the King James Bible. Now, the spelling and maybe the pronunciation has been changed somewhat, but the words are still many words are still in the King James Bible from the Gothic translation going back to 300. Then you have the Antiochian text, and it's a name for the text of the received text that all these ancient translations that were true to the Word of God, the received text, it's called the Antiochian text. And the Antiochian text comes from Antioch. It's named after that. And Antioch was the missionary church. That was the church that sent missionaries into Europe. It was the church that sent the Apostle Paul into Europe to preach the Word of God. And so the Antiochian text is the name for the received text in its different translations. Now, one of the earliest translations was the Aramaic translation. Jesus probably spoke Aramaic. We know on the cross he reverted back to that, and he used Aramaic words, which they spoke in Nazareth at that time. And this ancient Bible is called the Syriac Peshitta Bible that has been translated into English. And that Bible, again, backs up the received text or the text that the King James Bible is based on. So we have now the Koine Greek text, which is the basis of the King James Bible. We have the Gothic text, which is the basis of the King James Bible. We have the Syriac or Aramaic translation, the Syriac Peshitta, which is the basis of the authorized King James Bible. And then we have another very early translation, and that they believe it was translated as early as 200. And that is called the Ancient Italian Text. That was the first text that it was translated, the Bible's translated. It's called the Italic Text. And the King James translators, of course, had these ancient Bibles on their desks when they were translating the King James Bible into English. And these were called the Antiochian text. That's one name for them. Or it was also called the Koine Greek text. And this is a general summary of the name of the Syriac Peshitta, the Koine Greek text, the Gothic text. All of these texts were called the received text. Now, it's also called the Constantinopolitan text. It was these texts were coming from the area of Greece and Turkey where Paul had written much of the New Testament. And that's important to understand. Now, very early in the Christian period of time, they had an individual named Origen. And Mr. Origen lived from 185 to 254. And he was actually, in his thinking, he was a Gnostic. Most of the people don't accuse him that in history books, but if you study him carefully, and he believed that way. And he makes a direct statement, I'll have to read it one of these days on the radio, that I have in a history book. And he teaches that salvation is by good works, pure and simple. He, in other words, he didn't understand basic Christianity. If you think that your works save you, you'll never go to heaven. And Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, haven't we cast out devils in your name, prophesied in your name, and done many wonderful works? And Jesus will profess unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. They called Jesus Lord, and to be saved, you're to do that. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. But in reality, they never looked at Jesus as the Savior. Jesus is our Savior. And to go to heaven, you must realize that Jesus is God who took on a human body. The Bible says, a body hast thou made me. And the Bible says, in him, Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Almighty God was in the body of Jesus. And when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for our sins. God himself came and was punished in our place for our sin. And you must believe that to have eternal life. He is the Savior. You do not save yourself. And the Bible says now the wages of sin is death. Everybody has sinned. Everybody. And the Bible, Moses says, cursed is everyone that confirmeth not to do according to all that is written in the book of the law. If you sin one time, you got the curse of God on you. And you have to do the whole thing to make it into heaven. But the Bible says all have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. And so you have sin in your soul. And your good works will never get you in. Because your good works, the evil that you've done out, tip the scale against you. You must understand that all of our righteousness, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. We can't come close to having eternal life through our good works. Origen believed this. And Origen said that in his own mind, to make the New Testament acceptable to the philosophers in Alexandria, Egypt, was a headquarters of philosophy, he would translate the New Testament into philosophical words. Now, the Bible speaks on this subject. And so he changed the words, and although the words were similar, he changed it in philosophical words. And philosophy is based on two words, philosophistry. It's a lover of wisdom. And so the Apostle Paul, speaking on what was done even in that time, he said, we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. We don't preach and we don't use philosophical words like Origen did. No, we just use common words. We use the words that the Holy Spirit gave us in the Koine Greek language. And the Holy Spirit gave us these words, see. So he changes it into the philosophical words. And then the next individual was, after Origen, he who followed him was a man named Pamphilius. And Pamphilius copied all of Origen's writings, and he became a pastor in Caesarea, Palestine. They call one of the modern texts a Caesarean text. That's where Origen had set up his seminary after he was excommunicated and kicked out of the church in Egypt. Now, they always say, well, he was kicked out because the bishop was jealous of him. Well, he was kicked out because he was corrupt in his teaching. He didn't understand Christianity. And so he changed it. And those changes that Origen made in the text are called the Alexandrian text. And so most Christians at the time and ever since have not accepted that text because today it represents less than 1% of the evidence of the manuscripts. Over 99% back up the received text or Textus Receptus, also called the Antiochian text, which the New Testament is based upon. So Origen then, he puts out the corrupt text, and most Christians reject it. Pamphilius copies it. Now, the next individual is a man named Eusebius of Caesarea, and he is in the same town, Caesarea, in Palestine, that Origen was in. And he is a great admirer of Origen. And so once again, he copies this text from Pamphilius, and he promotes it. And at this time, he writes a book on Constantine. Constantine takes over the empire at the Milvian Bridge somewhere around 330 at that period of time. And so Constantine wants to unite the ancient Roman Empire under one religion, because that's what they had before. And so he sets up Christianity as the religion of the ancient Roman Empire. But Constantine really never understood Christianity. And Constantine murdered his wife, murdered his son. And he was actually got control of the Christian church at that time, where he was putting in the leaders of the Christian church. He was the supreme pontiff of the pagan religion of Rome. And so he wanted a Bible that would be acceptable to the Gnostics and different groups. And so at that time, he got Eusebius to put out Origen's Bible. And so what did they do? They put it out in the, we have these Bibles today in Vatican Sinaiticus, and they were very expensive because they were based on vellum, the vellum scrolls. Vellum was baby calfskins. And these baby calfskins, they were worked over and everything. And then at that time, these Bibles were very expensive. And they have come down to us in Vaticanus Sinaiticus. And church historians and textual historians say that these Bibles, these two Bibles, They came through Eusebius, who gave them, Constantine asked Eusebius to put them out. They're very expensive, but they were based on Origen's corrupt text. And they disagree with each other in 3,000 places. And really, they have many Gnostic readings in them. And in about 335, there's a man named Gratian, and about 380, and Gratian says, well, I'm head of the pagan religion of Rome. I'm supreme pontiff of it. And he says, but I'm a Christian. And so he drops the title and quits the support of the ancient religion of Rome, cuts off the funds. And so at that time, they had a worldly bishop, and his name was Bishop Damasus. And Damasus, at that time, they had an ecumenical movement. And so the ancient religion of Rome under Damasus in 380 and the Christian church there in Rome, now not all of Christianity accepted it, most of them didn't, but they united the two religions, the ancient religion of Rome and Christianity. And it was the birth of the Roman Catholic Church at that time. And so in the Roman church, you have Christian teachings, and on the other hand, you have teachings of the ancient religion of Rome. So Damasus wants a Bible that is acceptable to this new religion that is founded there. And so he gets a man named Jerome. He's called Saint Jerome. And at that time, see, they still believe in believer's baptism, most of them. Augustine was the one that got infant baptism going. And Jerome believed in believer's baptism, but he also was an ascetic. And so he got Jerome to put out a new translation. And it was not based on the original apostolic translation, the early italic text, the old Latin text coming out in 200. But Jerome's translation came out about 400 based on Origen's corrupt Bible in Alexandria, Egypt, based on that particular text, the Alexandrian text. And the Roman church then has used that text. And so one of these ancient Bibles, Vaticanus, was found in the Pope's library as early as the 5th century. And the papacy has pushed that Vatican Bible ever since that time. And this is the basis of the modern versions of the Bible, like the New ASV and the NIV and the RSV. And these Bibles generally take out the names of Jesus 100 times in the New Testament. And we talk about that all the time on here. Now, if you read a book called The New Age Bible Versions by Gail Ripplinger, and we won't give the address today, but you could look it up. And she goes through 2,500 scripture verses and shows what the true text, the received text, made up of over 99% of the manuscripts say compared with the modern versions. And in the modern versions, for instance, in the King James, it would say all things are created. God created all things by Jesus Christ. Well, for instance, the modern ones would take out by Jesus Christ because the Gnostics and the pagans, yeah, they could agree that God created all things, but by Jesus Christ, no, because they didn't believe in biblical Christianity. And so the Gnostic Bibles, the Bible that Origen had corrupted, and then Jerome, who was a great follower of Origen, later on, the councils spoke, church councils went against Origen, and Jerome sort of quit talking about Origen, but he based the Vulgate Bible on Origen's corruptions. And so the papacy has been promoting it ever since. And even today, in evangelical schools, they're saying that's the oldest and best. Well, if it is, how come these ancient Bibles, Vaticanus, Sinaiticus, disagree with each other in thousands of places? And how come that less than 1% of the manuscripts from the earliest translations disagree with that particular text? The Bible says many corrupt it, and so there's many corrupt Bibles today. But we have the true Word of God in the King James Bible. God said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And so the corruption has come down to us, and it was given to us by two individuals called Westcott and Hort. And they put out a text called the New Testament in the original Greek. Well, that Greek that they used was original with them based on Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. But today we have it based on the true text given by God, used by the ancient church.
Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman? If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.